This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I mentioned that I grabbed a couple of books last week, Barry. My one from Samantha Punch, Bridge at the Top Behind the Screen. I've got a Who Am I question for you. It might be interesting to you listeners. This is Who Am I, okay? I was born in 1965 in Germany, but I now live in Denmark. Pretty successful, love playing bridge, and my partner is also my life partner. I've won open, mixed and women's events in the world, European and North American championships. Top two tips. When your opponents explain no agreement or don't know, treat the situation as if they were using your own methods and bid accordingly. And the second tip is, never leave the table during a match without asking everyone at the table whether they would like a glass of water.
Am I allowed to have a guess?
You can ask me one question if you like.
No, I'm just saying this.
Okay, go.
It's Sabine Orkin?
Yep. You get a lolly.
Oh, God.
So this interview was done in 2014. I wonder if your top tips remain exactly the same.
One of her tips that I really like, and I think it is well worthwhile, is there's some overcalls that you can make that don't take up very much room. Like if somebody opens a diamond and you overcall a heart, really have that much effect. In fact, some ways it helps the opponents because they get to double to show four spades or bid one spade to show five spades and or whatever their agreement is. Doesn't have a lot of room and doesn't really stop them. But one of her tips was that two clubs is a really good overcall to make over one diamond. That makes it really awkward for the next hand. If it's not that strong and it's only got one major, it's really tricky. And you know how difficult it is, Mariana, when your partner opens a diamond, they overcall two clubs and you're sitting there with 7 or 8 points and you've got four hearts but only two or three spades. You don't really want to, you don't want to hear spades and you'd like to do something. Yeah, I think it's a good tip. A two-club overcall over one diamond is worth doing.
There's something else that she says is when she was asked about her strongest points as a player, she said it was her ability to concentrate and totally block other things out. Some things that really annoy her at the table is when people don't sit still, move around all the time, play with their pen, whatever, she doesn't like it. Gets in the way of her concentration. What do you think about that? Are you a jiggler at the table?
Well, I thought for sure she was going to say that one of her strengths was being able to carry glasses of water at one time at the table. But
good tips. There's that polite lady over there. I asked if I wanted a drink of water.
I'm probably a bit of a fiddler, Mariana. I get a bit bored when people take too long to do something.
Oh, well, she wouldn't like that. Okay, this is my second one. Born in 1964, writes the Daily Bridge column in the Times newspaper, has set up his own bridge club. Top tips? Actually, these are quite funny, actually. The key to bridge is shape. Try to work out the shapes as soon as you can. Sometimes you can infer everybody's precise shape during the bidding. And the one I like, his tip is, play flat out on the first and last boards. They are the most important. The first because it sets the tone for the set, and the last because you want to leave the table happy. That's a good one.
I've got a question for you. I think I know who's got a question, and I don't know whether you'll know the answer. Did he play at the World Championships in Morocco this year?
Yes.
I reckon it's Andrew Robson.
What was the clue? Because he's got his own bridge club?
Well, that was one of them. Yep. But the other thing was, I actually played against him in Morocco. and we had a bit of a chat, and I was able to say, oh, yeah, I interviewed you on the radio. You remembered that. So, and well, what's more, he's said that he's available again.
Oh,
and he was
right.
Going to come back. Last time we spoke to him, he was going to come back, and it hadn't happened, but he said he's available. So there you go, Mariana.
Okay.
Even though I was on the other side of the world, I was still thinking about the bridge zone.
Well, that interview was in 2014, and that one is quite a lengthy interview, over 10 pages long. Here's another one. See if you
Look,
can get.
there's some really good tips in there.
Right, here's another one. Born in 1957, one half of one of the world's most famous and enduring bridge partnerships, have played together for 40 years, and 29 of them has been on the same team. And I'll tell you what his tips are now. His tip is accommodate your teammates and don't grill them about all the hands. Condition yourself so that when a difficult hand's over, put it aside and think about it afterwards. Your turn.
Wow, I've narrowed it down to two.
Yep. You got to get it right. You have to give my lolly back if you don't.
I'm allowed a question first, aren't I?
Yep.
Has he ever played with Zia recently, in fact? Has he played with Zia recently?
That's not a good question. No, not
That's
recently.
it. Oh, okay, in that case, it must be Eric Rodwell.
Yep. Damn.
I must be too much of a bridge nerd, I think. This is a bit of a worry.
Well, I know, yeah. As soon as you asked that question, I thought, oh, I have to say no to that. So that splits it, doesn't it? Well, that's good. Condition yourself to forget about a board.
Jeff Mixdroth was playing with Zia Mahmoud at in Morocco, and there were crowds of people following them around. There were heaps of people convincing it was one partnership that everybody wanted to follow.
Okay. Well, here's one. I didn't really know it, but I thought his tip. 1954, this chap was born in. Born in America, went to Scotland, back into America. Has got quite a few successes and gold medals, and has won at the Bermuda Bowl. Top tip, knock out the ace, set up your suits by giving them tricks they're going to get anyway. All that matters in bridge is what's next. I have nine tricks, can I make 10? I'm cold on a 3-2 trumps. Who do you reckon that is? And yes, you can have a question.
Was he in the winning mixed team at Morocco?
Yes.
Mike Rosenberg.
He looks younger than the others, and yet he's the oldest.
I hope he's not listening. So, actually, it was an advantage going to Morocco, wasn't it? Lots of these people were hanging around.
This chap started when at school. Same time as Dad decided to go and have bridge lessons, and he got a book. He never read the book, so he picked it up and read it. Okay, here's one. This is a really hard one.
And that kind of when he was at school, he's been playing for 50 or 60 years.
Been playing a long time. Been playing a lot of rubber bridge. And guess who we met there?
His wife, Debbie.
Zia.
Oh, you meant Zia. Okay. I was close.
All right, here we go. See if you know this person.
Well, I've got three out of three. I've got three out of four. How much do you owe me so far?
Three lollies. Now, this person, I was born in 1953. I'm a professional player and multiple world champion. Represented England internationally since 1979. I'll give you the tips. Don't be in too much of a hurry to draw trumps. Usually, your best communications are in the trump suit. Don't forget that you play this game so much because you love it. Enjoy the game and don't forget that partner is trying their best too.
You haven't given me much information about him. You've told
Well,
me his age. He's from England.
1953, from England, been playing internationally since 1979, won European championships.
I mean, I was still at school in 1979.
Ask me a question then.
Okay. I'm struggling with it. I'm just going to have a guess. I've got
Go
to
on
have a
then.
guess. I'm due to get one wrong, so I might as well. I'm going to go for Tony Forrester.
No.
Damn it.
Wrong sex.
Wrong sex.
Yep.
I should have asked for the sex, shouldn't I? Okay. So I've been playing since
Or do we
1953.
say gender to be
Okay,
PC?
whatever. Playing internationally since then.
I'm going to cover this up. And I'm going to show you a picture. So this is a bit of a cheap thing because he's obviously struggling. And I'm showing him a picture. Who is that?
Oh, it's not it's a bit murky, the picture. Oh. I should know here, but I don't.
Yay, I win. F, give all my lollies back now. Sally Brock.
Sally Brock, and she's written a book and everything.
Yeah, well, have you got her book?
I think I've got one of her books. I've certainly seen them. Writes good books too.
Does she?
Should have given me that as a tip.
As a couple clue. Of these players are saying about when you're playing in open teams, do you ever feel additional pressure because you're a woman when you're playing in an open team? And in all her playing life, she said she might have done once, but you don't get affected as much by that sort of thing as you get more confident. But she said, in all that time, Barry, only once, whereas a couple of the other people, the men in this book, have voiced, you know, that they feel that when there are women in open teams, that sometimes the blame if they lose or they don't play well tends to go that way because they may not be as strong, which they're all saying is a load of crap, but some teams have done that in the past. Have you ever heard any comments like that?
About a woman being the...
in the open team and maybe the, you are the weakest link, goodbye?
The weakest link, yeah. Really, but in saying that, I mean, New Zealand teams over the years, not too many women have played in them. I think there's only been a couple.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is a comment that I read. It says, if a woman did play as well as the men, they never get the full respect. It's just an automatic thing. If a woman's on a team and if they win, they won in spite of the woman. And if they lose, it was because they had a woman on their team. Women don't get treated the same way. It's just ridiculous. It's terribly sexist. It's like someone sits down opposite a woman. He assumes that they're going to be the inferior player. That could change, but they have to get rid of women's bridge because women need to spend 10, 20, 30 years competing against the top players. That's how you learn. This one's saying, get rid of the women's division, that it all gets dumped in. What do you think about that?
Who said that, Mariana? Was that Sally Brock?
No, this was Michael Rosenberg.
Michael Rosenberg.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody agrees with that, of course. It's a bit odd.
Yeah.
But, hey.
You've got some of the women that are in this book saying that, you know, their aim was always to win the Venice Cup.
Yeah, which is the women's world championship. So yeah. That's their aim. Yeah, and I don't know whether you want to take that away from them. I mean, at the moment, you could say the game is sexist, and I could see where they're coming from there. But, I mean, in reality, the women have got two choices. They can either play in the women's, or they can play in the open, or they can play in the mixed. Or if they're old enough, they can play in the seniors.
Yeah.
They can play in any of those events, whereas men can't. So
they can only play in the three, you know, yeah.
So women's bridge is sort of an added string to their bow that they can play in. But they don't have to. They can play in the open if they want. But yeah. It does seem like a lot of women just aspire to win the Venice Cup, which is a huge achievement. Why wouldn't they?
We have a lot of our top players are virtually mixed pairs, don't they, that you have them? See quite a few of the open tournaments is mixed. I don't think there's any real percentage of male. Well, there could be. Slightly, do you think, Barry? It'd be fairly even, wouldn't it?
We certainly have, yeah, there's quite a lot of mixed pairs that are competitive, and there's a number of, with two men, there's only a handful of women's pairs,
yeah,
funnily enough.
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be.
If you've got any thoughts about our game being sexist, send us your comments. We'll be happy to read them and discuss it again. Bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see what people think. I mean, even at different levels, like intermediate and junior tournaments and that sort of thing, what are the top pairs? Are they men? Are they women? Are they mixed? If you're a woman, do you feel like you're looked upon as not being as good? I doubt that, certainly at the lower levels, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they might have a point that at the higher levels that...
You know, when we have the Waikato Bays Intermediate League and all that, that's actually taken out by women, the top couple of pairs. Be interested IPs to have a look, because normally they're just recently for Waikato Bays, it's been two female pairs and one mixed pair. So don't know where the blokes are. Your end's not holding up their true colours, Barry, in that intermediate IPs and that.
I'm not sure I agree with you there. I would have thought that mostly our interprovincial teams have been mixed pairs. I'm not sure where you got those numbers from that you're talking about, but certainly the Open team, I would have thought, would be mostly mixed pairs. Nearly all mixed pairs, in fact.
So the intermediate team is Deirdre Gunn and Jackie Blue, Jenny Elgar and Janet Margaret, and then you've got Nigella and Catherine. So female-female, and last year it was a mixed pair, male pair and a female pair. So it was spread across the board last year, but this year it's two female pairs and a mixed pair.
Pretty sure that the Open team last year was all mixed, and I'm pretty sure that this year it's all mixed.
Yep, and the senior team as well.
Yeah, the senior team too. So mixed pairs seem to be the way to go at the moment.
Seem to if be you're in the way. Hard case.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning, Judge Julie.
Morning.
Better weather.
Yeah, definitely. Quite dry today.
I want to know, Julie, what's the most novel excuse you've ever heard for somebody turning up to a twin or for a club session? Say somebody's supposed to be there at 7:30 and they've rung you up and they've said, the dog's died, my mother-in-law's sick, or whatever, or, you know, what's the most novel excuse you can think of that you've ever heard of for being late or not turning up at all?
Well, I can't really think of many. I mean, most of them revolve around the fact that my partner is wrong. I'm not playing this session. She is meant to be playing, or he is meant to be playing with someone else. Yep. So not my fault that I forgot that they've forgotten they're playing and their partner didn't ring them. That's common. The traffic, certainly Auckland, where you get that quite a bit, traffic issues, where the stuff goes completely AWOL every now and then. The weather, garages. Garages that won't open are a pain in the neck at various times. All right, there's been a power cut. The other day, somebody had someone parked in front of their garage and they didn't move. They had trouble getting them to move out of the way. There's a variety of interesting excuses for why people don't actually arrive on time. Normally, power failure and traffic, we know because other people have the same issues.
People might hit a cow on the way, Caddo, on the way to Britain.
Oh, you don't want to do that. I've seen the damage a cow can do to a vehicle.
Yeah, true.
The cow probably didn't like it very much either. Show a bit of sympathy for the livestock. I remember when I was a lot younger, we went up to Hootree, which is back of Wairoa. Our relation's got a farm up there. And Dad saw a rabbit, so he was following it in his headlights. Fortunately stopped before we drove off the edge of a cliff. That was just really exciting. Rabbits and cars.
So the second part of this question, obviously this leads on to if somebody is running late, and depending on how good their excuse is or how bad it is or how much you believe them, what sort of leeway do you give them, and, you know, how do you handle it?
Well, I'm sure all of you know people that are persistently arrive at the last minute. And it is really frustrating because you never quite know whether they're going to arrive or not. So you need to know, the director setting up the room needs to know that someone's definitely going to be there for that number of tables. Otherwise, you can't set up the movement. You've got to wait and see what happens. So it is really annoying that people who are always arriving at the last minute, if they don't let you know that they are definitely arriving, they can create problems for everybody that is playing the session, because you have to pick up the boards and you have to start again because the bridge movement will not work in some cases. We're talking about where it changes the number of tables. So when we have a phantom, so when we have a half table, we round it up to the whole number from the purposes of setting up a movement. So 20 and a half tables or 21 tables is the same. But if you have 20 and a half tables and then that half table doesn't arrive, now you have 20 tables. That means that you've got to put boards out in a different way so that people can play them correctly. Otherwise, the whole thing will just fall over. So the first thing is that we have, most clubs have, that you arrive 5 to 10 minutes before the start of play. That is so the director can set up the room and have a movement that actually works for when we start play. Then if people arrive late, sometimes they will not be able to play because you just cannot change things reasonably enough to allow an extra pair to come in. Very often you can, but not always. And one of the big problems from online bridge is people arrive at online about a minute to spare. And we can set up things in 30 seconds because we're online and it happens really quickly. But that still doesn't help us know what's going on or what we're going to do. And it really is frustrating. So we will try to let people sit down late and play because everybody likes to play. And in all fairness, if you've been held up, that's annoying. But in these days of phones that you take with you everywhere, as opposed to ones that stay at home and don't go away, which I tried to explain to an 8-year-old the other day, and he was horribly confused about why Patrick's phone was not with Patrick, but was in Patrick's house. You can ring and say, I'm running late. I will be there. So you can actually ring the Bridge Club and say, hey, if someone answers the phone, because they're not running around trying to set up the room.
Yep.
If you can count on them coming, it's a big help.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's the penalty, though?
What's the penalty? Well, we have penalties for slow play, and sometimes the club has guidelines. Sometimes we give people a warning. Most of the time, we don't penalise them when they arrive late the first time, okay? But we will tell them that if they do it again, that we will penalise them, because you can't hold up everybody just for the sake of one person who's inconsiderate.
Inconsiderate.
So what happens if you're lucky enough to have a non-playing director? I know you're going to hate this, Julie. What do you think about the director playing a few boards until somebody turns up?
Oh, look, if you have to, you have to. I mean, sometimes you do, right? It's like getting the tea lady to play. So sometimes a tournament or at the club, we will try and get people seated. If there's a phantom, we'll try and get the person starting with the phantom so that by the time they arrive, it won't affect anybody.
Yeah,
so
that sometimes makes sense.
We can organise things so that we can put it into whatever the movement is and we can have things starting okay. Or we can sit down and play briefly with them if we're a non-playing director. Obviously, if we're a playing director, what can we do? Not a heck of a lot there. So the boards will not be played, and the opponents who couldn't get to play the board to get a result when everyone else could are not at fault, are they? So they will get an adjusted score of 60%. Mm. And the people that didn't arrive on time will get 40 or 50%. They should be getting 40% unless they've got a reason that is obviously, you know, a tree fell down on top of my car. But I mean, that's pretty good. Or livestock or power failure, all of those things where you just really can't control it. And in all fairness, when the weather's horrible or the traffic is horrible, we generally end up starting a session late because we're expecting people to roll in late because we know that there's been hold-ups around the place.
You've been affected by power once, haven't you, Barry?
By power?
You had to drive into town, didn't you?
Somebody ran into the power pole. Yeah, that's right. Yes, they did. Yes, that did happen. I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, how good people are at dreaming up an excuse that the director's going to buy.
I suggest strongly, just for the directors that are listening to this and are getting a bit concerned, that we do not have that sort of competition. Because it might be amusing, but I can tell you it might get very frustrating very quickly.
True.
And okay. You really don't want to upset the director before you even start playing. I think that's a really, really bad idea.
Especially if it's a grumpy old director that, you know, gets easily upset. Not that I'm trying to think of anyone in particular, Mariana.
Mariana doesn't direct.
No.
Yeah, so I think he's looking at you.
I never said anything like that.
It's a Zoom meeting. He looks like he's looking at everybody.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Okay. That's given directors and players some ideas.
Yeah.
And perhaps, Barry, if you're going to arrive late for anything, you might want to check with the director what might happen if you do.
Yes.
And none of these bullshitty excuses.
Yeah, none of those.
I'm going to get very little leeway, Mariana.
That's good. Okay, catch you later.
Okay.
Although my grandmother has been ill for quite some time.
See ya.
Right, bye. Bye.
Hey, let's talk about what's on this weekend or this week. Mentioning to you that the Waitomo Restricted Pairs was on and they've got some great numbers.
10 tables, I think, so far.
That's pretty good for a little club that only has one.
The Wes Dodd's got something like 19 or 20 tables, I think, entered, but it is online. It's the old story. It's online. So it's interesting to see that Taupo have cancelled their 8B tournament, which is online. Be interested to know the reason for that, because it's clashing with the Wes Dodd in Auckland.
A couple of Australians have just entered. There's Wellington, lots of Auckland, Waikiki Island, Palmy, Marlborough.
19 and a half tables in Plymouth Harbour or Otago. There's people from all over the place.
When do the entries close, Barry?
I mean, that's another good thing. You know, these online tournaments, they can take entries right up to the last minute, really. They say that cutoff date is Saturday.
They could have a look at it in the morning.
It does say the 14th on there. Cutoff date is October the 14th at midnight. It looks like you can enter if you want to. They have play a bit of online bridge from your lounge.
Yep.
You can do
it's
that.
Got prizes for the top intermediate and top junior pairs. So it's open to all grades. You should get in, have a look.
So we've got the Labour Weekend Congress coming up in Hamilton, of course. The numbers there are, well, they're not exactly jumping out of the trees to enter, are they? But
we've got 21 pairs.
Reasonable and, number in the open
teams. In the open pairs, 18 teams. We're hopeful to get 24 face-to-face would be our goal, but we'd be happy with 20. There's still plenty of time, people. We're also celebrating our Jubilee, so that's going to be nice on Sunday evening, and then we have the Swiss pairs on the Monday. Got some fairly decent prize money going out there, people.
Now, tell me, Marie, I've got a question for you. It's my turn.
Okay.
Have you filled out your feedback form? I got an email asking for feedback about Congress, what you thought.
I haven't received one.
It says, hi all, 2023 Congress is over for the year. We appreciate all of you support of this event. This is my first year at the helm and the first time meeting several of you. We always strive to do our best and look to ways to enhance the experience that is National Congress. We welcome feedback from those who attended, so I appreciate you taking the time to complete the following survey to help us make improvements for 2024. So I imagine that most people would have got that.
I'll ask her. Anyway, give me a tip.
Oh, well, I think you should practice carrying 4 glasses of water back to the table at once.
Practice carrying 4 glasses of water.
That's been awkward.
Well, people, that's it for this week. We'll catch you next week.
All right, bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.